welcome to the Acolytes of Merlin. Today we will be discussing our 10 favorite movies, or at least this is part one of that list, so more accurate to say that we will be talking about numbers 10 through 6 of our favorite movies.
Dun dun dun, that's so, the title.
Yes, 10 through 6. We're your hosts, Johnny and John.
And we thought we'd start with some honorable mentions. That's usually how these things go, right? Yeah. So this is a sci-fi and fantasy podcast, but I at the very least am not limiting it to just that genre. I don't think Johnny is either.
No, although there's a not many others.
Right.
But yes.
Right. I have a lot that are like debatable.
Okay.
And maybe I'll talk about that more as I'm going through them.
Okay. Real quick,
we won't do any spoilers for any of them. Yes. Really. There's one in particular that I need to be careful with that because it's very. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's funny because. Well, yeah, movies are like the one thing that I don't obsessively track as far as media things go. Like, it's not like books or TV or video games. But so I've been making an effort to track that more. Nonetheless, I do still have this has been a good exercise in getting me to narrow that down a little bit.
Did you say TV shows?
Yes.
What about music?
Oh, yeah, music. I have a spreadsheet with hundreds of albums.
I tried to do music a long time ago, and at the same time that I was doing books and movies and even plays, I tried to do. But there just weren't that for plays. The issue was there just weren't that many for me to choose from, honestly. And then for songs, I just like, what? I can't. I just couldn't do it.
Well, I should rephrase. The spreadsheet for music is for albums, but like I do have lots of playlists. So if we're counting playlists, then music is the thing that I would probably most obsessively track, like even more than books. But just the spreadsheet, it would be books, and then probably yeah.
Yeah, I think this is going to be similar to the book scenario where I have installments of the list that are multiple parts.
Okay.
So I have three entries where it's more than one movie.
All right, I know what one of them is.
yes, we can be pretty confident about that.
Yeah.
And just like with books, I know I am expecting that they will be individual movies, even when they are.
Yes. I debated
one that I am pretty confident about.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the one that I think we're both thinking of, I thought about doing as one, and I. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there. Mm-hmm. But
mm-hmm. Won't be a huge shock.
Yeah.
Okay, so my honorable mention is Pirates of the Caribbean.
I hope Curse of the Black Pearl.
Yes, and not Curse of the Curse of the, I thank you. If you had asked me which one, I might not have remembered the first name, which is part of why it is an honorable mention for me, because I've maybe seen it twice, but if I've seen it twice, then it was a long time ago.
Okay.
I am talking about only that movie. I have heard. So I'm going to say that the Matrix is on here, but I like all of. I actually do like all three of the Matrix movies, not the latest one as much, but the three ones I do, and I want to believe that I would enjoy, because I didn't like dislike Dead Man's Chest, though I did see it the second one. I never saw At World's End the third one, and I kind of want to do a rewatch of all three because I have there are people online that I agree with on the Matrix trilogy. Well, one person that I agree with on the Matrix trilogy, who is a big fan of the Pirates trilogy. So I kind of want to give it another shot.
In just out of curiosity, in that they like all of the Matrix movies or do not like 2 and 3? Well, and probably 4.
they like all the Matrix movies, and not to say that like they put them all on the same level or anything, but they give a real because one of the major issues that a lot of people have with Matrix 2 and 3 is that they are pretty confusing.
Yeah.
And he has a really good dissection of them that gives them a little bit more clarity.
Okay.
And I just really, really appreciate it. But yeah, Pirates, Curse of the Black Pearl is just like a smorgasbord of creativity and charm. And it's just like, they were like, oh, it's like a random Disney movie about pirates that I think they made like a ride about it, like right afterwards. So it's like, oh, you're just going to lead into a ride. But it was just such a solid movie, and I don't think anyone really was expecting that.
No, it's a fun movie. I think the ride was there first, but
that is probably
because it's a Haunted Mansion situation where like the movie is based on the ride, but
then that's even okay. That is what I'm thinking of, because that's even more reason to doubt that it's going to be a good movie. Right. But then people were like, "Yeah, let's try."
No, that's it's weird. The first one's a really fun movie. I think the second two have some fun fight scenes and some really cool music. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the later ones, but the first one's really solid.
Run into anyone who's said like really good things about ones after three. So, but there you go. Okay,
I'd say my honorable mention. I'd say, and this is a now wanting to go back and rewatch a lot of Ghibli movies. I'd say Howl's Moving Castle is probably my honorable mention.
As soon as you said Ghibli movies, based on like our trial of Ghibli movies, that is the one that I knew you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah. And I've since seen a few more. I really want to rewatch a lot of them because with different contexts and expectations, my appreciation for some of them might definitely be rearranged, but yeah, I don't know. It's a fun, I mean, per anything Miyazaki, it's the animation's excellent. The story's really good. The twists and revelations about certain characters' motivations make sense to me. I think that's well done. Music's good. That's all I've got on that one.
Okay, excellent. And this is the list proper then.
Yeah, I do have one more honorable mention would be...
You can't. Go ahead.
You know what? Nah, because if I do that one, then there's other honorable mentions, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Make me look bad, because I don't have
any. No.
I don't have any in the bank. No. Okay, so number 10 is one of the multi-installments. It is the Toy Story trilogy.
Okay.
For reasons that I don't think would surprise really anybody, Toy Story 3 came out in 2010.
Oh.
I went to college in 2010. I am the audience for this series of movies, and it was just like, and I shouldn't start off talking about that, because they're all quality movies. The first one was groundbreaking in its use of 3D animation, and it doesn't like completely hold up. It looks kind of weird now, but
95, I think, right?
95. Sure.
Maybe later.
Sure. Go ahead. I was so confident. I know the third movie because of
right,
but I don't know the others offhand, but. Yeah, it was just such a it was such an eye-popping movie. One of the things that I remember so vividly is the Well, I guess we have to abide by spoilers with these two. It is a certain okay. It's like a kind of a chase scene that where the what they're riding in is just like. I don't know. It just looked like a real toy, and it really stuck in my mind. And it's just, yeah. So, you had that, and then the second one just kind of really took the story in a really interesting direction, the toy story in a really interesting direction, and it kind of matured it in a way. And a lot of people say it's even not everybody, but a lot of people say that it's even better than the. It just as a movie than the first one, and then but it wouldn't be in the conversation if it weren't for the third one. It did everything that it needed to do for me. It's what I needed to watch at that point in time. And it was just God when filmmakers love their product, it's abundantly clear, and this is one of those instances.
Yeah, they're all solid movies. I haven't seen any of them in probably a decade or more, but they're all really mm-hmm. solid.
And I did not watch the fourth one because I...
Are you going to watch the... Isn't the fifth one coming out?
Is there?
I think there is.
Oh, kill me. No, there are no... There is no Toy Story 4 or Toy Story 5 in Ba Sing Se.
Although there is now a Netflix show. that's a different podcast.
What's your number 10, Johnny?
My number 10, so we must have been thinking on almost the same, or at least a similar enough wavelength. My number 10 is Inside Out, another Disney Pixar movie.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, it is my favorite of all of them.
Disney Pixar or Disney? Or both. Well, it would be both.
Yeah. Definitely like Pixar. Definitely Disney Pixar. I would need to think more to include like other Disney products. Well, not other branded ones like Marvel or Star Wars, but.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really. It's certainly not perfect, but it is a really. I think a mostly great exploration of those ideas. It obviously it's very literal, and that it's with personified emotions, and certainly there are not just six emotions, but or five. I forget the specific number, but
yeah, it was five. I like the description of the kind of the pitch meetings for all the different movies, and it's like, what if toys had feelings? What if cars had feelings? And then it's, what if feelings had feelings?
Yes. Very much that. but I think it's a good execution on the idea. And yeah, there is a certain scene that I absolutely bawled during. And if you know, you know.
Yeah, you know.
If you know, you know. I won't really go any further than that. I'll just say that a lot of life is about change, and this scene is certainly about change.
Yes.
Yeah.
They really dig into the basics of what everybody goes through.
Yes. Out there. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the sequel. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't really know. Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I figured you would at least give it a chance.
Yes,
for sure. Okay. So you may there may be a day and or a moment later in the episode where you recognize a pattern, but it is not this day or this moment because number 9 is not at all like number 10. I have Citizen Kane.
Oh, similar reasons as to why I like Howl's Moving Castle in terms of motivations, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
If I remember it correctly.
Yeah. It is, I haven't watched like a ton of black and white movies, honestly. I have not seen, I haven't seen Casablanca, for example. That's the first one that comes to my mind. I have.
It's fine.
Okay.
Others might disagree, but go ahead.
I have seen 12 Angry Men, which is really good. But I mean, it's especially as someone who's not a cinema major, it's hard for me to really add anything to the discussion here. But the just all the stuff that he did with cinematography and his use of space and kind of emptiness echoing almost to like convey mood was just like something that he like made up that Orson Welles just like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and like this isn't a thing, but now you've made it a thing, and you've like brought you've infused film with art for like the first time, honestly. And there is a, yeah, I don't want to put anybody else in the position of that I was in just by being in culture, hearing about the twist ending, just because it's everywhere. But yeah. Just in case you haven't seen that, I won't put you in that position, because it was still a really great moment when I got the twist. But I obviously would have preferred it if I hadn't known. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it is a very good movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I forget most of it, but I do remember the ending, and it's a good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It serves its purpose well.
Yes. I actually, I saw that thing, that item in, the actual item in, I actually saw the, item in a museum somewhere.
Oh, that's fine. I'd be curious to know what museum would have it.
Yeah, it was a trip we were both on, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was one of the things there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Not. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fun. No. Good pick.
Yeah, thank you.
So my number 9 would be, and I've only seen this movie once, weirdly enough, but I really want to rewatch it. But Stand By Me, which is an adaptation of The Body by The Body by Stephen King,
mm-hmm.
Which is a coming of age story, like much of King's work.
Yeah.
I just think it does a particularly good job with that.
Okay.
And having a group of kids that are on the brink of I guess they are adolescents, and how he portrays that, I felt, was particularly affecting.
Okay. So that ended up being good. I literally, the only thing that I know about Stand By Me is that it came from the body.
Yes.
That it was called The Body. I know that bit of trivia, and that there is a body in it.
Yes.
And have you read,
yes,
The Body? Okay. My understanding, even though I haven't read this either, is that the Shawshank Redemption story and Shawshank Redemption movie are quite different. Are these also different, or did they just change the
title?
It's
been almost 10 years since I read Shawshank and The Body. It's been almost that long since I've also seen either of the movies.
Okay, all right.
So I think I don't quite... The Stand By Me is a pretty... from what I remember, a fairly accurate-ish, I guess, adaptation. The Shawshank Redemption is not that long. It's like 100 pages. I don't know the word count, but it's like 100 pages or mm-hmm. something. Which doesn't mean much as far as adapting something, but...
Right.
But... Yeah, I would imagine it's more different than The Body, or than Stand By Me is from The Body.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, which, I was just curious.
Yeah. Which the, yeah, and that's the, most of the collection, this is just a note on the different seasons collection. There's one of them that's most certainly horror, which I was able to get through, but the others, one of them's pretty creepy, but it's not really horror. Apt Pupil, but
it is apt. Okay, yes. Okay, the Apt Pupil is the one that I know the title of. The only story that I read was Secret Window.
Yeah, that's the one that's like horror. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, like, yeah. And I forget most of it.
Thriller.
Yeah, except for like one image at the end that I kind of remember. But yeah,
okay.
And there's like one scene in The Body in Stand By Me that I'd say grotesque or gruesome, maybe, but it's not really horror per se.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like Stephen King when he's not writing horror stuff.
Right. Right.
Well, The Dark Tower is a whole
it's
different.
It's a mixed bag.
Yes. Yeah. It's a I very. Was about to say. The Dark Tower is a very, very mixed bag.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Cool. My number eight is one that when I kind of rediscovered this list earlier today, it wasn't on it. I had to put it back on. Frozen.
Ooh. Okay.
That is.
So you could not let it go.
I could not. Though actually, that is not even close to my favorite song. Maybe that's not that of a, much of a hot take. Maybe people, a lot of people are sick of it. I never liked it as much as For the First Time in Forever or Love is an Open Door. I always like those two better.
Love is
especially
an open...
First Time in Forever as far as yeah. Tracks from the movie. But it is certainly my, I'd say it's my favorite Disney. I mean, maybe somewhat others up this list are technically Disney movies, but understanding as like Disney movies, this is my favorite. I don't have any classic Disney movies on this list, mostly because they're all on the same level. If you were to ask me my favorite classic Disney movie, I'd probably have to settle on Tarzan.
Okay.
But I just that I'm not putting that on the putting any of those on the list. They're just like a different category for me.
Yeah.
Frozen is just such a wonderful subversion, and I'm not even just talking about like the twist that happens like 2/3 of the way through the movie or 3/4 of the way, whichever it is. I'm talking about how it is a different kind of love story than you're expecting.
Okay. I actually haven't seen it, funnily enough, but but go ahead. Yeah.
I would highly recommend
it's
it.
On
it, it,
the
it
list.
Is, it is one of the two movies on this list that I praise as a true like feminist movie.
Okay.
And I really hold it in high regard for that. And I don't automatically like every movie that is like really trying to go for that. And I don't know if both of these movies are trying to.
Right.
But it does that well. I see that as the form that they're taking, and I like them for that. So yeah, if you're like this guy and haven't seen it, please you should.
Yeah, no, it is definitely on my list. I've heard many of the songs many times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know most of the plot points at this point, but I do. It is something that I do want to watch. I need to make in addition to lots of general, like not specifically Disney movies, I do need to watch a lot of or rewatch some other Disney movies.
Yeah.
My number eight is Terminator 2 Judgment Day. oh, okay.
I'm making a face. I might need to put that on here, actually.
Okay.
That might be another honorable mention for me at the very least.
Okay.
But please continue.
No, it is like a perfect, again, I not that I am a cinema person. Like, I wouldn't, like, I enjoy watching movies, but I wouldn't call myself a cinema person by any means. It is mostly a perfect action movie and a really fun science fiction movie that also has some, gets at some really good, really gets at some personal human questions with all this stuff with John, which I think is done very well. The music's excellent. The cast is great. Yeah, it's like a few other movies on this that I will later get to, it is a sequel that improves on the first one.
Okay. Yeah, that is definitely a rare breed.
Yes.
But yes, it is great when those crop up. Yeah. I was actually in a bar recently, and I saw, like, I looked up, and it was the beginning of the emotional final scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like perfectly timed. I'm looking up, like,
yep.
I guess I'm gonna feel today. I didn't expect to do that at the end of the night, but okay.
Yep, it does that. It also, so I have been souring on time travel as a thing, generally speaking, over the last while. I think it's rare that it's done well. I'm not gonna say it's perfect here, but it serves its purpose well enough, and it's like it's an example that doesn't totally rely on the people that know that I'm not really a Doctor Who person will laugh at this. It doesn't rely on a lot of the wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff to be impactful. It just uses the time travel stuff to put certain characters in their starting positions for the movie, and
with Doctor Who, it's like, It's possible and fair to get hung up on that while watching that show, but it is very much owning that in the show. Whereas, like, other recent movies that are kind of more trying to use it seriously, I feel like Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey is more aptly used for said movies.
Yes, and just to make this clear, I don't say that Doctor Who does it poorly. Like, that's the whole point of the show is that nothing matters, but it's campy and, like,
right.
It's very clear about what it's trying to do and how it's, like, using time stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not coming from the perspective of defending it. I'm just using it as a contrast to talk about those other movies that I think of more with that phrase than I do the show that it's from.
No, I'm with you on that.
Number seven, it would be another whiplash from, like, Pixar to
not
groundbreaking piece of cinema. To Disney, which is not to say that these aren't groundbreaking pieces, but it's just like Citizen Kane is a classic example. Number seven, kind of back to the auteur area of cinema, Kill Bill.
Ooh, yes.
Kill Bill,
yes.
Both volumes. This is another multi-installment. So just very broadly, it's a revenge story with just a really... colorful villains and a really relatable main character, just a fantastic performance turned in by Uma Thurman. And it is it ends well. There's a goal. It may or may not be to kill Bill. Okay, fine, whatever. But there is a goal at the beginning, and it, not to say whether it happens or not, but it's all leading towards that, and there is a culmination. And I always appreciate that. And of all, like, I appreciate a lot of, I appreciate Tarantino's style in general, but I, none of his other movies really just are quintessential him for me than, other than this.
I could see that. I haven't seen all of his stuff, particularly his more recent stuff, but the quintessential him one that comes to mind in particular is Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
And, like, in terms of, like that's a movie I just remember talking about afterwards, because without going into lots of sort of things about the movie, you very much have, you literally have to piece it together. Because it's sort of structurally how it's done. But
mm-hmm. And, yeah, I Pulp Fiction, I saw it fairly recently, actually. I appreciated it a little more after, while, like, a while after watching it, as opposed to right when I watched it.
Sure.
My second favorite of his, if you count Kill Bills as one, would not be Pulp Fiction, which I saw, or, Reservoir Dogs, or even Inglourious Bastards. It would be Django. Django is also a really solid movie.
That's
Django Unchained.
Yes.
just for the record. Yes, that's the full title.
Yes, that I would. That and Pulp Fiction would be very close. Kill Bill has been very high on my rewatch list. It might become my favorite of his upon that rewatch, but yeah, it's a really good movie. But they are good movies, I should say, as they are listed here.
I'm gonna keep quiet for this episode, but I am putting in, like, other movie titles as we're doing this that might go into this list, but I'm not gonna say it.
Okay. Well, we could do more, like, honorable mentions part two, or obviously we have we'll have more stuff if you want to kick others out.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
My number seven is, we're going back to Disney, technically, but we'll go with Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
Certainly this would be one where a lot of people might put it as a two-parter, but I'm just going to say Infinity War, just because I haven't done that previously on the list, and I don't really plan to.
Yeah.
Other than maybe one, but it is my favorite movie in the MCU. It's everything that I would think like a big comic book movie it could be when you have set up and combined all these different characters and storylines. It delivers on everything that was really set up. It still is extremely focused despite having all of this wild stuff and however many characters.
Because
even if you are confused or don't remember, haven't seen some of the other movies in a while, it's like the plot is just stopped. Thanos are getting the Infinity Stones, and everything that all the characters are doing is either for or against that, and there isn't really a lot of there are some, but they're that is a central thread that you can tie everything back to that helps the movie feel focused despite its epic scope and character list.
But the other thing is that it's, yes, the kind of the thread tying those all together is important, but if it were coming primarily from the perspective of all of those disparate teams that are trying to do that, it would not work as well. The reason that it works well is that there is a single central character of the movie, and it's the villain.
He is the protagonist.
He's from, in the literal sense of the word, he is the protagonist of the movie, and that's why, that is the primary reason it's so successful.
Yep. Yeah. Clearly agreed on that.
In keeping with my multiple installments perspective, I don't have the Infinity Saga on here. I did at one point. I'm not sure. Maybe I just wanted to like not have something so massive on there. But it could be back on there in the future. But don't expect any MCU coming up. I'll just say that. My number six is The Prestige.
Okay. I was wondering when Nolan was going to first show up on either of our lists. Well, not wondering about mine, but
Inception is also one that could find its way on here. That is one of the movies that, other than like obvious ones like obvious cultural touchstones like Harry Potter, is one of the movies that I've seen the absolute most. I saw it, I think, 5 times total.
It's Inception.
Inception.
Yeah, it's that was the one that I was going to list as my other honorable mention.
Yeah. Whereas The Prestige, I've probably seen, I've definitely seen it 3 times, maybe a fourth. It is just such a perfectly crafted mystery and twist with Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman, just two stellar actors. And every time that I see it and see, like, certainly the second time might have been the best time because I know what goes on, and I was able to pick out certain things, but I might still pick out some things even now. It came out at the same time as The Illusionist, which was more primarily, there is a love story within Prestige, but Illusionist was more of a love story. And I remember they were two magician movies that came out at like the same time,
right.
And Prestige was, I was just like, yeah, this is just leaps and bounds better for me. Yeah, just the craft of putting that movie together is just astounds me every time.
Nope, Nolan's a really good director, and Prestige is a really good movie. My number six. Speaking of big popular directors, is Blade Runner 2049.
Okay. I almost saw that movie, but I saw Kingsman 2 instead. Kingsman 2 for the second time instead.
Okay, now that's a sin, but because obviously Kingsman 2 is a really good movie. Kingsman 2 is a fun movie. Blade Runner 2049 might be the prettiest movie I've ever watched in terms of the, yes, like the visuals, because the cinematography is absolutely stunning, but like the, both from the shots, how he uses visual effects, how specifically crafted the visual style of the world is, is absolutely perfect. It's a sequel, but it's also, it's one of those similar to HBO's Watchmen where it's a sequel, but it's also kind of a reboot, a remake. Laura, it's dealing with very similar things, and it has similar elements of similar plot elements, but the cast is great. Ryan Gosling, without going into who else is in it besides that, it's, it's a really good cast. Music's great. Yeah, it's just, it, it, and as Denis Villeneuve recently said that, I mean, he takes it to a certain extreme in his how he doesn't like dialogue being used to tell stories in movies, but this is a movie where, and he thinks the shots should speak for themselves, and I think that's true in all of his movies that I've seen, but this is one in particular where it is the visuals that drive the movie and why you're watching it. Because I mean, a lot of the movie, I'm thinking, well, is there something I'm missing with this storyline? And maybe there is, like, because you could get into the philosophy of that a lot, mm-hmm. like what it means to be human and etc. But a lot of it, the movie is just the movie is an atmosphere, and
yeah,
and it just absolutely nails that.
There's some hullabaloo about kind of how things like the MCU have sort of bypassed directors and directorial vision in favor of the overall vision of the yeah. producer and everything. But that is not the only movie, 2049, me having not seen, I'm just taking your word
yeah,
for it,
yeah, yeah.
Is not the only movie that I can think of where that's the case. There are things like the MCU, which that is a legitimate criticism of it, but there are definitely, in other ways, like directors are kind of having a moment, because what you said about 2049, I feel way about the Batman.
I feel
the same way about the Spider-Verse movies.
I just thought of a movie that I would have. I may need to revisit my number 10.
We may have jumped the gun on this a little bit.
There is a movie that I think will be knocking off number 10 or number 9. One of them's going, because I can't not have the movie that you just reminded me of about directors and directorial vision.
Okay.
Oh, do you want to do it now? Is that?
It's up to you. This is the 10 through. If this is the new number 10, okay. This is 10 through 6 episode.
I'm going to. I got to kill one of my darlings.
What was number 9 again?
It was Stand By Me or Inside Out.
Right.
I have
a preference of my own, but it's not about. It's not about me.
Right. Right. all right. I'm going to remove. All right. We are also going to record a version of this in like years down the road if we're still right. doing something and it's right. an updated list, but
no, we can no this is our one chance. We can never change this list.
Opinions on the internet are always solidified.
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna knock off Stand By Me.
Yes.
And my new number 9, which okay, I'm inserting this I'm knocking off Stand By Me and my new number 7 is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I don't know why I was like, what is he talking about? It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's the movie. It's basically everything you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't much else. I mean, it's great. It's fun. You will cry. There are awesome fight sequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's a movie that has lots of wibbly wobbly space stuff that really doesn't matter. And that's why it works.
Right. Right. It's all allegorical.
Yes.
That's why it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's 10 through 6.
Yeah. We will return with 1 through 5. Maybe have another round of honorable mentions. We'll see.
Yeah. But, yeah, that might be. That'll be for next time on this totally unchangeable list.
Yes, yes.
That we cannot grow as people after this episode.
No, so. That's it. Our human experiences are you're complete once you choose your favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. But yeah, we'll see you with the 5 through 1 on the next episode. We are John and Johnny, and thanks for listening.